Our scripture readings this morning are from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, and Romans chapter 12, 17 through 21. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of God for the people of God.
Joseph and the baby Jesus in a barn, surrounded by animals and curious shepherds and worshiping magi. And the familiar songs like Silent Night, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, Hark the Herald Angels, O Little Town of Bethlehem, all speak of peace. Yet sadly, when Christmas is over, we pack away our hope for peace along with all our other decorations. But this ought not be so, because one of the unbreakable gifts of Christmas is peace, because the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, came into the world. Now, the gift of peace is a threefold gift. We can have peace with God, peace within, and peace with others. And we can have that peace now. Now, that first peace that we have through Christ is our peace with God. There's a story of an elderly couple who were driving down the street one day during the Christmas season and were listening to the music on the radio. And as they listened, the wife said to her husband, Herbert, do you remember how we used to sit close together as we drove along? It was so wonderful. What happened? And Herbert replied, I don't know. All I know is I haven't moved. From the first bite of that forbidden fruit, humanity has moved away from God. The story of Christmas reminds us that God has not moved. And in fact, in Christ, God draws near to us in order to guide us back toward Him. Last week in our study on hope, the emphasis was on Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Specifically, Jesus came to save us from our sins. We recall that the shadow of the cross loomed over the manger because sin makes us enemies of God, separates us from God. And so on the cross, Jesus bore our sin, our guilt, our shame, and in Him, we are saved. We are made right with God and thus have peace with God. And through His resurrection, we are saved even further for eternal life, to dwell with Christ forever. And we are also saved from those meaningless pursuits. As we abide in Christ and follow Christ, we live for purpose. As Paul reminds us that by grace we are saved through faith, and that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the works that God intends for us to do. And so we are saved for a purpose. And so Christ gives us that peace with God, that abiding relationship, but He also gives us that special peace within. You know, few of us are strangers of anxiety. It has a way of creeping in and gnawing away at our insides. It's like a narrow stream trickling through our mind, and that if we give it too much encouragement, it cuts a channel so deep that all our other thoughts drain into it. Jesus and other biblical writers warn against worry and fear and anxiety. They are indicators of a lack of faith, and thus Paul shows us this remedy for worry and fear and anxiety. As we turn to the reading from Philippians. Now, this is no Pollyanna prescription for peace. Paul was no stranger to trial. When he wrote this letter, he was in chains under arrest in Rome. During his years in ministry, his life was threatened. He was mocked, imprisoned, stoned, beaten, and shipwrecked. If anyone could claim to be under a dark cloud, it was Paul. Yet later in the book of Philippians chapter 4, he writes, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, for I can do all things through him who gives me strength." And he shares this secret with us, this remedy for anxiety. He begins by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." You see, rejoice means to delight in and to show joy toward. So Paul is saying, if you want peace and contentment within, turn your thoughts and energies toward God. He affirms this in verses 8 and 9 of the same chapter when he says, "From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent, if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. Practice these things." It doesn't come automatically. We have to practice re-gearing our thoughts. And he says, "The God of peace will be with you." You know, we reaffirm this when we sing the wonderful song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." The song goes, "Look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." If we want peace within, practice focusing your thoughts toward those things of God, toward Jesus. Paul then continues, "Let your gentleness be known to everyone." In this, Paul is speaking about our response to those things that would disturb our peace. How do we respond? Do we lose our cool? Do we fly off the handle? Because if we do that, what does that do but increase our anxiety, increases our rifts with others, and robs us of our peace? So Paul encourages gentleness, a controlled, measured response that includes humility and patience and kindness and faithfulness. So be gentle and rejoice, focusing our thoughts on God. And the next thing Paul says, and this is key, the Lord is near. You know, I love that story from the Gospel of Mark. When I lived in Las Vegas, we would go out on Lake Mead, and Lake Mead is similar to how the Sea of Galilee is constructed, down in kind of a low area with mountains around it. And so when the wind kicks up, it kicks up the waves and you get these big swells. Well, that's what the disciples are experiencing. The winds have come up and it has caused these swells that are causing the water to go into their boat. And even the seasoned fishermen are terrified. Now, Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat and they go to wake him up and they say, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" And all Jesus, he wakes up and he goes, "Be still." And the wind stops. And the storm ceases. And now the disciples are troubled. And they wonder, who is this that can command the winds? Well, Matthew's gospel tells us exactly who he is. After the angel tells Joseph to take Mary as his wife and to name the child Jesus, Matthew adds, "This took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will give birth to a child and will give and to a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us." You see, the same one that spoke at the dawn of creation is sitting in the boat with them. He is the one that calms the storm. And it's interesting that Matthew's gospel ends as it begins. In the beginning, we find out that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And at the end of the book, Jesus promises, "Lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age." The Lord is near. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And he's in our boat. There is no storm he cannot calm. And so therefore, Paul writes, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, present your requests to God. Now, we would argue that God already knows what's going on in our lives, so what's the point? Remember Herbert and his wife? Herbert hadn't moved, she had. Well, God hasn't moved either. And one of the ways that we move toward God is through prayer. And we sing of this too. When we sing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, the middle of verse 1 reads, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now, Paul does make a qualification. This prayer ought to be sprinkled with a good dose of thanksgiving. God is not a divine vending machine where we plunk in a prayer and something comes out. We bring thanksgiving to God. We recall God's provisions in the past, how God has worked through time and through Scripture, and also in our own lives, recounting God's faithfulness for life and for breath and provision. This cultivates a sense of gratitude, but also trust that God will provide and care for us into our unknown future. And so there is Paul's prescription. Rejoice in the Lord. Be gentle in our responses. Remember, the Lord is near. He is Emmanuel. So don't be anxious. Pray without ceasing. And pray about everything. Sometimes we think, my problem's too little. But no, any problem that causes anxiety, everything, take it to the Lord and sprinkle it with gratitude. You see, do this and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. In our lives, it doesn't seem reasonable that peace can be there in the midst of turmoil, but it is an unbreakable gift of Christmas. Jesus in John 14 said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. And in John 16, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. This peace, as Paul writes, is the peace that guards our heart and our mind. And the word guard here means to stand a post, to guard against the aggression of an enemy. So how about that? Each week when we greet one another, the peace of Christ be with you and also with you, we're inviting that peace to stand guard before our heart and our mind to keep away all that would disrupt our peace. That is the peace we exchange with one another. So friends, this is what Christmas is about. God coming into the lives of sinful and anxious people and giving them peace with himself and peace within. But like all the gifts of Christmas, they go beyond ourselves and our relationship with God, and they extend into our world, as we sang in our song before the sermon. That peace is what God desires for all nations. And as peacemakers, as we are called to be peacemakers, we begin that process. If we want peace in our world, we need to live peaceably. We have a song for that one too, and we'll sing it in a moment. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. You know, in Paul's writing to the Romans, he writes this, and I'm taking this from the Message. He says, don't hit back. I like this. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. And if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. It's practical advice for living at peace. Don't hold a grudge. Don't seek to get even. Instead of that, turn your attentions towards being kind to that person, not just in feeding them or giving them a drink, but surprise them with goodness. Reach out with a word of hope or a word of peace, a card to bridge the gap. The other writings say it's like heaping burning coals upon them. It might bring that person to repentance. Another way we show kindness towards those who are our enemies is that we don't speak badly of them or bring others on board with us. If we want peace in our world, it begins with us. I love it where Eugene Peterson says, discover beauty in everyone. If we did that, we'd see more peace. Jesus modeled peace, and he taught us not to judge. He taught us to pray, and he taught us to forgive. And Paul writes, in as much as it is possible, it is up to each of us to live lives of peace. That does not mean the other person will receive our offer of peace, but we've made the attempt and we've built a bridge that later might lead to peace. But also it gives us peace. You see, we don't have peace if we're living unpeaceably with others, if we are unforgiving or vengeful. So being at peace with others is good for us, and it's also good with our relationship with God. The unbreakable gift of Christmas is peace, and it's also a fruit of a life of faith. Well, there's a story of a young Norwegian soldier during World War II. His whole family was killed during World War II, and he was facing his first Christmas alone. He was depressed, and one day he stood at the edge of a Norwegian fjord, and in his frustration and bitterness shouted, "Glory to God in the highest!" And the fjord echoed back, "Highest, highest, highest." He shouted again, "And on earth, peace," and the fjord echoed back, "Peace, peace, peace." The young man then sat and cried and said, "There is no peace," for peace was only an echo that began to fade and fade and fade away. Each Christmas, we shout peace, and then it fades until Christmas comes around again and we shout it out again. And the cycle repeats. Yes, peace is elusive, but it is not impossible. Because a little child came to lead us, and he calls us to break the cycle, because we can have peace. Peace with God, peace within ourselves, and peace with others today. And so I close with these words from Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. In despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, but hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men." But thankfully, Wadsworth Longfellow does not leave us on that bitter note. He continues, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead. Nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward all." Amen.